Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. Check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
We are about jobs. Later on this hour, I'm going to let you know where you guys can go to find out some of the jobs, even though the industry is shut down, the behind-the-camera jobs. And, Mr. Crenshaw, I don't know what your struggle was this past week. I'm not talking about the sports world, but at some point, let me tell you what I dealt with this whole week. And when I tell you every day, I'm going to pass this information on to you, to Jahi, and anybody else out there who is in the future going to do any kind of little home repairs, and they need to go get screen doors. It about made me want to walk into traffic. So, again, I'll get into that. But I've been to four Home Depots. That ain't including the Lowe's that I went to. All for screen door. And I'll tell you what the problem was, because people should know this. But time to talk a little high school sports, man. What's in your wheelhouse this week?
Wow, there's a lot happening. A lot happening, obviously, with football. First of all, a little bit of somber news that we got yesterday. About a basketball coach before we get into football, and that was Coach Lee Hill. Coach Lee Hill at Statesboro High School passed away, and a lot of people on social media have been remembering Coach Hill, a lot of people who competed against him, and a lot of coaches who learned from him. He's not just a great coach for people in that part of the state, but also a great mentor to other young coaches around the state, and so they're remembering him. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the folks down in Statesboro. At the loss of the legendary coach. Football, Greg, you know, we're going to talk about it. And we're going to get into this more with our guest who's coming up in just a few minutes, Dr. Gary Levengood. But we watched this weekend as certain things happen, certain schools, because of the impact of COVID-19. We have areas where parents are great with their kids playing, and I guess we have other areas where parents are not. Twiggs County, which is in middle Georgia, not going to play football at all this year. They joined Riverside Academy as two programs, high school football programs that will not play at all, which, you know, when these things happen, everybody's got to scurry around to fix their schedules. Right. They had until noon Friday to update schedules with the GHSA. Now, one program that's dropping out of GHSA is Pinecrest Academy in Forsyth County, private school there. They're going to play eight-man football this year. They just don't have the numbers coming out to participate. To play 11-man football. So they're going to play 8-man ball this year.
8-man ball. So,
yeah. Okay. And so that's what's happening. These are smaller schools, small enrollment schools. You know, you figure the bigger enrollment schools will have enough guys that want to come out and play, and they will continue to play. Although this week we found out a number, let's see here, that GHSA – releasing this, we get into this more with Dr. Levengood, 655 positive COVID tests since June 1st.
Right.
Since June 1st. Statewide, and six programs are in that two-week quarantine that once someone, a player or two on your team tests positive, you must do. So, I mean, that's some things that are happening, things I was seeing. I got out and went to a couple of practices. Matter of fact,
down the street and didn't make a call.
Yeah, but that was last week. I'm talking about this week. I got out one morning. I hit three different spots. And you go to three different places, you see three different things. You know, you see one team that's at a stage where the guys are just there, lobbing the ball back and forth. They're out, you know, they're out there. Maybe they've done what they need to do in the weight room that day, and there was nothing much happening on the field. You go to another, and they're going in shifts. They're still in their pods, you know. And so one, your varsity may come early in the morning. You know, your second string may come later. In between that, your ninth graders may show up. So you got them spaced out, and you're keeping them together. You know, that's how they've been working some things starting out. And some teams are still there. They haven't moved ahead. Some are not wearing helmets yet. Some are wearing helmets. I went to another, and it looked like they were having a regular workout with everybody right there. So, I mean, you're seeing different things. You go to different places, and then I want to go and visit, you know, I wanted to go over and visit Tucker, and I found out that Tucker wasn't practicing at all because Tucker had some tests, and they're down for 14 days. So that's the team that's involved in the Corky Kale, which there's several teams that are going to be involved in Corky Kale. We get to play it, who've had to go through this protocol of having a player test positive and having to sit out 14 days of practice. That's 14 days of nothing.
Right.
So you think while the other teams are working and getting some things in, you know, these guys are you're sitting and you're not able to do anything. And that's the tough part of navigating this going forward.
Let me ask you a question, Sam. By the way, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We're here until 10 o'clock, 6 to 10 every Sunday morning. While you were out watching these various teams last week and this week, what was your take on the masks that were being worn? Not so much the players, but the coaches and the people, you know, on the periphery watching, helping, doing whatever that weren't suited up, or at least throwing the ball around, as you said. Were they adhering to protocol?
I mean, the players aren't wearing masks.
No, I said not the players, not the players.
But around them, yeah, the coaches and staff are basically. I went to one place and they weren't wearing them. But I mean, I won't say where I was, but most places I've gone to, coaches were wearing masks. The folks in Louse Mountain were wearing masks. You know, so so you.
And, I'm just saying, you go out there, you must shake your head. And I'm not asking you to name names, but you must go out there. You're doing what you're doing. You're watching what's going on. But the 600-pound gorilla in the room or on the field is still there. And you're looking at this going, you know, come on, y'all.
But not just that. You know, and that's what they're comfortable with, if they're comfortable with. Now, when it comes to game days, we get to games, coaches are going to be wearing masks. I would hope so anyway. You know, as being on the sideline, everybody's going to be grouped together. Everybody's going to be close proximity to each other. I don't know how you deal with that if the players, while they're on the sideline waiting to go into the game, if they wear masks as well. That's the whole thing. We don't know what game day looks like, and that's right. Why I said what I said earlier. In an ideal world, you want to see how the game played at its highest level is conducted on the field to see what people do. And then bring that down. But we're not doing that. You know, to me, we're backwards.
But to your point, I was thinking about this when you said it earlier. I think the gold standard, at least on the high school level, to view is what's going on with college. Because we still got kids in school, college. You got kids in high school still. But when you talk about the pros, those are men, A, who don't have to be there. And we're seeing them opt out. Okay. Now,
that's not the part I'm getting about. I'm talking about how the game is played on the field. What's there? What's necessary? What's not necessary? I mean, I talk with Dr. Brian Hainland, you know, for a tennis podcast that I work with, and he's one of the top medical officials for the NCAA. He's one of the guys who's going to say whether or not we have college football.
Right.
And the way he talks about it is bubbles. And he says the first bubble is the field, you know, for college, if we're going to have college football. The people who are essential and have to be on the field, let's secure that area for them. I want to see what that looks like. What is securing that area for the people who have to be on the field? What do they keep on the sidelines? What additional things do we see on the field? What about the officials? They have to be there. What about the people on the chain crew? What are you doing for them? The second bubble would be other folks who have to work around there. If you got TV cameras, if you got those type things, how do you do to keep them safe and secure? They got a bunch of cables going up and down the field behind the team, behind the bench and whatnot. Or do you say, you know what? You don't come near the bench. Your cameras have to stay in the end zone. I want to see what that looks like. And as, to me, to see it done at the highest level gives you an idea at the collegiate level what it should look like, and then at the high school level, rather than throw the kids out there first and say, here, y'all go play ball. Because you know the other thing, Greg, you can't play the ball. You can't play a game with just kids.
Right.
You can't play a ball game with just kids. Some grown folk got to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, so how are you securing this thing? And I think nobody's answering that question. But maybe the person we have coming up will answer that question.
Listen, you just hit a raw nerve with me with what you're saying, and we'll get into it later on because I don't want to step on the doctor when he joins us. But that is every time we read something where there's a concern with a league, other than ones that don't have a commissioner, okay, we have seen the buck being passed. We have seen it being passed from you know, on the college level. It's as if nobody wants to make a decision. And that's because they don't know, but yet they want to push a certain agenda, and we've talked about that too. And that's what's maddening, and that's when you said that. It's like somebody's going to have to make a hard decision about this one way or the other. And, you know, well, we're waiting for this test to come back, or we're waiting for this person to speak up, or we're waiting for this body to come up and make a comment about it. And
we just wait? Are we just going to go until people get sick? Because that seems like the attitude we're adopting. We're talking to NCAA, and you know, I don't know if you've read the articles that are there. People may have read the ones about the Southeastern Conference and the Pac-12, yep, where some players are talking about possible pushback, you know, with college football. And we can get into that more at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock. We're going to talk college football. But they're obviously concerned. And basically, this week, both NCAA and Pac-12 decided to go with 10-game conference-only schedules. They're going to do it. The ACC decided to go 10+1. They're going to let Notre Dame play as a conference member, which they're a de facto conference member anyway. But that's going to happen. But still, the question came with the SEC. Some players on a call this week just listening to some health professionals and some athletic officials with the conference, and they asked some questions. And they weren't
and didn't
satisfied.
Get an answer.
They weren't satisfied with the answer. They basically got an answer is, y'all going to play and some folks are going to get the virus.
It's never going to be the quote was, it's never going to be 100%.
You know, some people.
So let's play Russian roulette and get on out there. And the craziest part about that, Sam, to me is, you folks went and sat in mama's living room and parents' living room and told them you were going to protect the kid, right? This is what you and I have talked about. We've heard it from people who've been on our show. And where is that disconnect? How is that being? We talked about you going and jumping around the area, going to high school locations and seeing what's going on. Well, for that matter, parents can do that same thing. And what are they seeing? And are they concerned? We got all these officials on there. We should talk to some folks that, you know, have their kids playing on program X, Y, and Z and see how they feel. Are they comfortable with that?
Yeah. And like we said, you know, we're talking high school ball because these kids have to go to school. They have to go and eat in cafeterias. They have to sit in classrooms. You know, so, I mean, you can't put them in a bubble where it's just the ball players. You know, so that's the other thing. They got to ride the bus. How do the buses work? That's what one coach asked me. How much?
I told you about that one, right? I told you that story. How they retrofit them.
You know what I mean? So I mean, that's a lot of questions are being out there, and people are being left to their own recognizance. Here, this county decides we're going to do that, and I told somebody back in the day when I was in high school, around your region was basically the county that you went to school in. I mean, I went to a Fulton County school. So Fulton County, you basically played other Fulton County schools. If you went to a City of Atlanta school, your region was basically City of Atlanta schools. If you're at a DeKalb County school, you were DeKalb County school plus maybe Marist or Pius. That was who you played. Once you got to the state playoffs, you played people from the other part of the state and the other side of town. That's different now. You could be in a region now where you may have 5 different jurisdictions and a private school in your region. So every week, it's a different set of rules. You know, are we playing with fans? Well, no, we're not playing with fans. Well, we're only going to allow 20% fans. I mean, all kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just laid out there for people to try to work and figure it out themselves as we get set to approach this season. It's an amazing thing to see this all roll out. So,
Happy birthday.
It's not ideal, but nothing is ideal, you know, gotcha, in this time of COVID-19.
Happy birthday goes out to Tim Wakefield. I don't know why, but I just figured I'd acknowledge a knuckleballer today. Coming up later on the show.
Man, I got a story about him.
Save it. Yeah. We got Tim Wakefield information coming up. You didn't think you'd have that when you woke up this morning. Up next, a man who's got credentials up and down the arm. It's Dr. Gary Levengold. He is going to join us next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you on this Sunday morning. Thank you for spending some of this Sunday morning with us. Another warm day outside today. I don't think it's going to be as blistering hot. We may get about 90. It won't get up to the mid-90s, but it will be hot outside today. So glad you're with us and listening to us by way of the radio.com app, wherever you are. Take us with us, too, if you're moving around or if you're just still hanging around the house, staying close by. Glad you're with us on this Sunday morning.
Yes. Hey, Jahi, later on, play hot. There's a reason for it, not just because of the weather. I actually have a reason for that song. I'm going to bring it full circle. You're going to love this, Sam. You're going to bring it. You're going to tell your Tim Wakefield story. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you a hot story. But we have it. We got to be serious now because we have a man who's credentialed on the phone.
Yes, we do. He is definitely that. Joining us now on the waitfor.com hotline, someone who I see a lot on sidelines on Friday night. He is always on the sidelines on Friday night. It's Dr. Gary Levengood of Sports Medicine South joining us now. Good morning, Dr. Levengood.
Morning, doctor.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us, and we're going to ask you what we ask everybody who comes on our show when we start. How have you and your family been dealing with this time of COVID-19 and staying safe at around the house and still through the work you've had to do?
Well, we do what the CDC asks us to do. We wash our hands. We use a lot of hand sanitizer. And when we're out in public, we put a mask on. So far, everybody's stayed healthy.
Well, that's good to know. I got to ask him another question, Sam, first of all, because when you Google the doctor's name, there is multiple pictures of you. Good-looking man there. But there's a picture of you. There's a picture of you with your hands up doing your best Tom Brady impression. What are those rings all on your fingers?
Those are all the teams I've taken care of over the years that have won state championships. And we're proud to sponsor or to be with those people and help them keep their athletes healthy.
Okay. How many have you got total?
You do a great job.
Yeah. Oh, I think we probably have about 15 different. I take care of about 8 different high schools, and we have about 15 different state championships that we've been involved in.
You ain't got enough fingers for all them rings, man.
Spend the time on the waitfor.com out this morning with Dr. Gary Levengood. And we're talking high school football, high school athletics, period. And one thing you guys have done long before now, you've been a part of acclimation period, and that's what a lot of players are going through now, being adjusted to the heat, monitoring the heat. You guys have done this for quite some time for the schools up in the Gwinnett area. Thoughts about that this year when we talk about players who haven't played 2 months worth of 7-on-7s, that they would normally be out in the heat a lot, and they're now trying to get ready to play ball, and they haven't been in the heat as much as they normally would be.
And that's part of the reason we tried to get them started back in June with getting back in the weight room, getting back on the field, conditioning, because we knew that they had been kind of locked up for the last 3 months in the air conditioning. And so now we're encouraging our coaches to go slow, make sure that they get enough water, get acclimated to this heat, because it's not going away anytime soon. And that's a big issue always in August that we're dealing with. And I think that, they have a little extra time this year to acclimate, and then we push the start of football back a few weeks.
Doctor, we have talked to a number of people, parents, not all on the air with us, though. So my question to you is, how do you make the parents of these football players feel as confident as you do about the protocols that are in place that are going to keep their kids safe?
Well, one of the things the CDC has kind of shown is that, and literature has shown is that kids themselves, even though we had this one incident with the YMCA, kids are pretty resilient to this. And so I think if we follow the protocols we've talked about, we're screening everybody on the way in, we're checking their temperature, We're encouraging hand washing, hand sanitation. You know, we want all our coaches and everything to wear masks. And I think if we, you know, we follow through on that, I think we create a, you know, the safest environment that we can under the circumstances. And so far we've been doing pretty well. I mean, the number of positive cases in the county in the high school athletic programs has not been very high.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying high school players as opposed to maybe college and pros aren't as susceptible to getting this, or at least if they do, coming through the other end easier than the older players?
Well, if we look at what the Georgia Department of Health has published on their website, we see that there's very low incidence of positive testing in the 5 to 10 and the 10 to 15 age group. The big group that we have to worry about is the 19 to 29, and those are the ones that, you know, the college age kids are the ones that really have had the most positive. But even in all those groups, there hasn't been, especially in the 10 to 17, there hasn't been a lot of hospitalization. There's been 0 to 1 death. So, I mean, it's not unlike a lot of other diseases that we've seen. We lose a player to heat-related illnesses, you know, once every few years. We lose, you know, we have concussions. We have a lot of other things we're also monitoring. Right. And this is just one more thing. But so far we've seen that it's been fairly safe in what we've, you know, the protocols that we've put up for these players to do.
Dr. Gary Levengood joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Doctor, we can't thank you enough for coming on here and answering these questions. And we've got a little list of them here because we've talked to a number of people, and we having a person like you on, you could maybe shine some light on these concerns. And so that's where it's coming from. And this is the one that we get regularly, especially when it has to do with football. How can you make a parent or us, just our football fans, feel good about this upcoming season, whatever level it's at, knowing what we know already about this virus, how to protect, of all the players on a football team, the linemen, they're going to be the first ones. That ball snapped. These guys are going to be face-to-face. Fluids are going to be flying all over. What is it that you say to people to make them feel good, if you can at all right now, about the play of football?
I don't know that we can make, you know, people have kind of cemented how they feel about it one way or the other. I mean, there's definitely a risk in this. I mean, the risk of transmission is it's a very transmissible virus. I think what you have to do is set up protocols around it so that, you know, when we go out there, we have a fairly good idea that all of the players haven't been exposed or that there hasn't been a positive case, and it's something we need to monitor, you know, back and forth. I think that, you know, they are going to be in each other's face, you know. The question is how much viral load is going to be spread during that. I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. But I think that, you know, again, we just have to follow the protocols and then keep an eye on it. You know, and if we find out that, you know, we're starting to see a lot of uptick and kids transmitting this, then I think we shut it down. But up until that point, I think it's a lot more healthy for these kids to be out playing than not.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline this morning with Dr. Gary Levengood, Sports Medicine South, Orthopedic Sports Medicine Fellowship trained surgeon, and all around good guy.
I told you he's credentialed.
Oh, all over the place, man, all over the place, you know. He is that. You're also a consultant, and you're on the Sports Medicine Advisory Board for the GHSA, and I think you guys have to present something to the GHSA later on this week. My thing with this, Dr. Levengood, and I've been and observed some practices and guys having to bring their own water bottles and they having to sterilize helmets and guys having to be able to go in their weight and have to go get the weight rooms misted at night when they leave and all that type thing. I've seen those things. My thing is game day, and people say the kids are going to be fine, but you don't play a game with just kids. You got to have some grown folk around there. And what happens with coaches who are of age, your officials, the people who prepare your concessions? In some communities, we've had people who've done this for a very long time, and that's a part of Friday nights. Also, the crowds and fans, and there's no rules for that right now.
Well, and that's something that we're looking at. You know, I think it's going to be up to each individual county based on, you know, how much infection they're having at the time. So it has to be, you know, kind of a county and a school board decision. As far as, you know, starting off, I think that we're probably going to see, you know, diminished crowd size, probably, you know, 25 to 40% capacity at most. I think we're going to encourage, if not, you know, I think individual school districts will probably encourage or demand that everybody that comes wear a mask. I think we'll practice social distancing. You know, we'll probably change some of the protocols around how concessions are done. It's not going to be a normal Friday night like we've usually seen. We'll certainly limit the number of people on the sideline. And then probably the officials will wear masks as well. So, I mean, I think that protocols around the game will be changed a little bit, and we're not going to have quite the number of probably fans or some of the regular hoopla that we have around Friday nights. But I think that if we can get these kids playing, allow them to do what they do, I think it's going to be better for everybody.
And that's the thing you talk about. In some communities around this state, Friday nights mean everything. Friday nights kind of support the school and the other athletic programs. So when you talk about fewer people in the stands, it makes you figure, okay, so why are we doing this if we can't fill up the stands with fans and sell tickets for people to come in and do things? I mean, that's the other part of it. I mean, you know, we have some communities in the metro Atlanta area. Maybe the gate is not the main thing that drives the athletic programs. But as you know, in other parts of the state, it drives everything. So it's going to be, to me, difficult for those folks to say, we're going to limit the number of people to come in if people got money to buy tickets and come to the game.
Well, I think it's going to be, an individual district decision. I think we can provide the best medical advice to them as far as how to go about doing it. I'm hoping that, you know, they adhere to mask wear. I hope they, you know, they have hand sanitizer everywhere and all those things. And I think that there probably is going to have to be some limit on the number of people, especially in, you know, some of these counties where you have, you know, 10,000, 20,000 seat stadiums. So I think they're going to have to work that out. I mean, for me, the important thing is for the kids to play. And I think that, you know, it's better for them from an emotional and health-wise to be playing. I think a lot of the other stuff we're just going to have to evaluate as we go along and just see what works. And if it's not working, then change gears.
You're a big sports fan, and as you watch these other sports play, what are some things you've been watching for? We've been talking about baseball and their struggles, but we got the bubble for hockey. And I saw those guys get into a fight the other day and say, oh, man, they can't do that. And I think, well, no, they're in the bubble, so I guess they can beat each other up. How closely are you watching the other sports?
Well, I watched some baseball last night. It was very interesting how there were no people in the stands until the ball's hit in the stands, and all of a sudden people appear. But, no, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, you had your first base coach with a mask on and your third base coach with a mask on, and, you know, the coaches and the managers and the dugout had masks on. So, I mean, I think they're adhering to a lot of things that we've asked them to do. They're, in professional sports, I mean, this is, you know, 19 to 29, some of them in their early 30s. I mean, that's a huge group where you had a lot of infections and probably the majority of infections. Whereas with the younger kids, we've seen a lot less. So I think that, you know, professional sports is its own creature. And I think that, you know, they can put people in a bubble and they can do the testing and everything. We can't quite do that on the high school level.
Doctor, real quick before we leave here, since this craziness has started, what's the one thing as a doctor that you've learned, if anything?
Well, I think what's interesting is that, you know, anytime, this is my first pandemic, the first thing you learn is that very few people know anything at the beginning. And there's a lot of people that get out there and you know, become, you know, experts on this that, you know, you can't be an expert on something that we really don't know anything about. And I think there's been an evolution over the course of watching this virus as far as what it is and what it's not. And it keeps changing on the daily, and that's why we, you know, it's important that we've been meeting weekly to, you know, the GHSA has been meeting weekly to talk about, you know, what our concerns are, what are best practices. And I think that's going to continue probably for at least a month or two more to really kind of fine tune this. So it's been this evolution that's occurred kind of as this thing's kind of rolled through. Plus it, you know, it's difficult. I've seen what it's done to, you know, a lot of kids that have a lot of aspirations to play sports and, you know, it's crushing when they can't get out there and do what they want to do.
Well, Dr. Levengood, we appreciate you spending some time and bringing us some knowledge today, and I look forward to seeing you on the sidelines. I'll have my mask on and everything, and I'll have plenty of hand sanitizer, and I look forward to seeing you once we get these games up and running. But we thank you for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you, Doctor. And who's that barking behind you?
Who's the barking? One of my six dogs out here.
Six? Six?
Oh, my goodness.
I wouldn't want to get that bill as far as feeding six dogs.
There you go.
Stay safe, Doctor, and thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you. All right.
See, I was going to jump into a medical question and a statement that he made during that, but six dogs took me off that, man.
Yes, he did.
Jesse is going to make me walk into traffic, but I can't imagine five more like her. And we do it every Sunday morning. 7:40. It is Stomp the Yard. HBCU update next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday mornings. You can also check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
As we do every Sunday at 7:40, we get an update on what's going on in the world of HBCU universities. I had something written down here, and I was going to tease it, but I'm going to shut up right now. The feature is called Stomp the Yard. Jaheed, from Sam and I, we apologize for going long last segment, but it is all yours right now, my man.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's everything going?
What's up? Nothing much.
We got some stuff going on. So I just want to say that band that we heard right there, that was Tennessee State. There's a reason why I want to play Tennessee State, because that will probably be the only HBCU band that we will be hearing this season. Tennessee State, as of this moment, will be the only HBCU that will be playing this fall season. There were talks of North Carolina A&T replacing Hampton in the Big South this season, considering Hampton has opted out of playing football this season, but the Big South is still going forward. And also, North Carolina A&T is actually going to be in the Big South next year, but that all has got squashed because the MEAC are trying to plan a spring football season. So that'd be. So that'd be a good thing. So that means that let's keep our fingers crossed for the Celebration Bowl. Let's keep our fingers crossed, because the SWAC also has a plan. So we're not ruling that out. That has not been ruled out yet. So we got a pretty good thing there. So speaking of Tennessee State, I wanted to give a shout out to these three young men. So Tennessee is in the OVC, the Ohio Valley Conference. So a total of three players from Tennessee State have made the all-OVC team. That's redshirt senior cornerback Nick Harper Jr., along with redshirt senior offensive lineman Cam Durley and junior punter Caleb Mosley. You don't necessarily see punters, but it's pretty cool. And considering that Tennessee State was the sole HBCU school that had a player drafted out of the NFL last year, this previous draft, that's a pretty big thing. So we're expecting big things from this school and going forward, and see what they do this year. Hopefully, if they can go, to put a lot of eyeballs on Tennessee State, and they can get back and be some prominence.
It's Stomp the Yard, our HBCU update with Jaheed Whitehead, joined Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. I'm sure there is more, Mr. Whitehead.
Yes, there is always more. There's always more. And sometimes I hate to do this, but we're in the news often. I have to talk about my alma mater again, Howard University. So And the NCAA Basketball Oversight Committee has added Howard University's athletic director, Kerry Davis. So this is a six-member committee. They are supposed to ensure the appropriate oversight of men's basketball along with the development of their players and make sure everything's good. He's been appointed to this six-member committee through 2024, which is pretty big. And Davis is the only member from an HBCU. So I'm not sure. They didn't say they didn't cite who the other members were, but it is good to have a member on the athletic director from the HBCU on the committee, because I don't think we've had that recently. And it's good that we're not overlooked and we are part of the decisions being made as far in the oversight as far as HBCUs, because we haven't been in there. So actually, and it's probably one of the reasons why Howard was actually chosen, because they're actually doing big things, especially with basketball. So to move forward, there's another young player, Harrison Ingram. He's one of the top players. He's a top five recruit. He's one of the top wing players of the 2021, and he has put on his list of six Howard on his list. And I want to he's from Dallas, Texas, small forward, 6'7". From Rivals.com, he's pretty much the prototypical new age player. Like, he's that guy. He's a one and doner. So he will only be there for a year. So, but like I said, he's from Texas. So his six schools are Purdue, Stanford, UNC, Howard, Harvard, and Michigan. And out of those, Yeah.
So I'm listening to these schools now, and as you listen to them schools, I'm thinking GPA.
Yes. Yes.
I'm thinking
yes, this high GPA.
This dude's smart.
Right. You just don't pick those. You just don't get, rather you're good or not, you don't put those schools on your list unless you know you can get in. Unless you know, you don't put a Harvard and Stanford on your list, UNC or Howard by that, unless you feel, Purdue even, unless you feel you can get in. Like, these are tough academic schools. They all have big microscopes on them. But those are his six schools. He visited three of them, the first three, Purdue, Stanford, and UNC. He's yet to visit Howard, Harvard, or Michigan, but he plans on doing it. So Howard is looking to enter the race of one and done players. They are looking to get into that race. They already made a big splash this year with McCormaker. That was obviously a big story. But it looks like they have a chance. Guys are actually putting them on their list, and they're serious. These are serious considerations from these young men.
I also heard something else that they've done a great job of recruiting around the DMV up there. That's so much talent around that area.
Yeah,
that they've been able to land their share of that talent as well, to go along with these, you know, potential one and done players.
Right. And if you don't know about the DMV and their talent, there's a good documentary out now called Something in the Water by Kevin Durant. And actually Kevin Durant, Quinn Cook, and Victor Oladipo. All of those guys are from that area. So it's like Michael Beasley, Kevin Durant, Quinn Cook, Victor Oladipo. There's a couple of other guys all from the DMV area that just are – it's – and I live, obviously went to Howard, and I also lived there for a little bit as well. They're studded with talent on the court. Yeah. Their AAU circuit is immaculate. These guys are – these are some of the best players in the country that are in that area.
When I think of DMV, that goes all the way back to folks like Lynn Bias and folks like that. Yeah. The idea that an HBCU is going to be able to attract some of that attention, and you know, it's going to be great. And that's why I was excited when I heard the CIAA tournament was going to Baltimore.
Yes,
I said, okay, that's going to put them in an area where these young people are going to get to be exposed to HBCU, and the CIAA tournament is quite an event to go to. The emphasis back on the basketball a little bit more, I think.
Yes,
having
please.
It there in a place where basketball is big. So I'm excited to hear that those players from that area are looking at Howard, and once the CIAA tournament is able to return up into the Baltimore area. I mean, it's still going to be a good time. Y'all still going to go. They still going to party.
Yeah, Baltimore's a fun city too. Baltimore has a lot of things. You go over there to the harbors. It's a lot of things going on over there. So Baltimore is definitely – definitely a fun city to have that in. And I actually have a Baltimore story.
It is
ironic that that came up right now because I have a story out of Morgan State.
Go ahead.
Morgan State. Another HBCU that is in Baltimore. They are doing a program with the Reginald F. Lewis Museum for Student Athlete Development. Now, Reginald F. Lewis is a black entrepreneur. He has a museum in Baltimore. They're doing an online program to usher in a bridge program to usher in the student athletes into entrepreneurship and things of that nature. And it's virtually, but they're doing it with the museum. So these student athletes are taking these courses, these virtual courses with the museum as far as entrepreneurship and just bridging the gap from being a high school player into a student athlete and whatever guys that may have professional aspirations. If they make it to that level, they teach them economics and things, a couple of things like that. So I think this is something that, a lot of programs, not just HBCUs, but a lot of programs around the country should start doing.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. That's great to know. Morgan State, some great folks that come out of Morgan State.
Yes, sir.
Willie Lanier, Leroy Kelly, and a guy named the Human Eraser, Marvin Webster. There's some great athletes come out of Morgan down through the
I'm year. Sorry. I got no Baltimore stories other than my wife used to run a restaurant on the Inner Harbor.
That's a story right there.
Were you in Baltimore where a place called Jean Claude's was there?
No.
It was a while ago.
But that's some good food, though.
Some great food out in Baltimore.
Great food in Baltimore.
Oh, man, the crabs. Man.
Just making some points from when I get off the air that I mentioned that she used to work out there. she got a shout out. Hey, I'm going to take these last few minutes and ask you guys real quick. If you had the chance to do a job on a movie crew, what would yours be? Like, if I wasn't trying to get in front of the camera, I could probably pull off being somewhat of a carpenter. Maybe a driver. That's always kind of cool, driving them dudes around.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I'd love to be the driver.
You'd be driver, Jahi? Any audio, skill set that you have?
Audio engineer.
Well, listen, for those of you who like those jobs or you have another skill set, I always want to send you to our website, 929thegame.com. You click on the menu tab, you go down to blogs, you'll see Casting Call with Greg Clarkson. No, there are no extra jobs out there right now, or at least I haven't posted any. There may be a few smaller projects going on, but the industry is still pretty much in hold. But they are still casting and looking for people, not casting, but looking for people to fill a number of behind-the-camera jobs. People had to leave those positions. They had to go do something else when the industry shut down. Well, it's going to come back, and they need people. Heck, Tyler Perry just finished a couple months of sequestered filming in his location. Maybe some of those people even. You don't know, but you want to go to the website. I walk you through how to find the help-wanted areas of job opportunities on Georgia.org. So it all starts with you going to our website, 929thegame.com. Click on menu, go down to blogs, and you'll see Casting Call with Greg Clarkson. I bring you that entertainment information on, are you ready? There's a person you never thought of or you didn't think you'd think of when you woke up this morning. It is
Who's that? It is
Apollonia's birthday.
Ooh.
I think about her often. Here's your problem. You don't think I think about her.
Okay.
But I think about Apollonia often. I love Purple Rain, and I like when she purified her body in the lakes of Minnetonka, even though that wasn't the lake of Minnetonka. So, so you're wrong. I was thinking about her not too long ago. Maybe not this morning.
I said this morning.
You know what I would say? Yes, I was. Yep, I was thinking about it this morning. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. It's also Eddie Munster's birthday. Were you thinking about him lately?
No,
I wasn't thinking about it.
That's okay.
Happy birthday, Apollonia. And at some point, maybe coming up at the end of the next hour, when we kind of cover a number of sports, we'll get Mr. Crenshaw's Tim Wakefield story, because I brought him up for a reason, too. Jahi, great STI this week. That Stomp the Yard you just heard.
Yeah, great stuff, man.
Every Sunday morning, it's our HBCU update at 7:40 with Jahi Whitehead coming up. Going to talk to Joe Patrick about this week in baseball and everything that's going on with that, and college football. We haven't dipped our toe into that too much. That's coming up next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and check us out on the radio.com app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.